The committee that handles the year-round business affairs of the legislature yesterday approved money for an in-depth inspection and report on the structural integrity of the state capitol here in Juneau. The Legislative Council agreed to pay $149,000 for design development to follow up on studies done in 2006 and 2010. Those studies found problems with the old masonry at the building, and they were heightened recently when a legislative staff employee was nearly hit by a falling piece of the building. Chugiak Republican Bill Stoltz originally objected to the expenditure, saying he did not want to dredge up a divisive issue like moving the Capitol, but he did want to consider it.
If there are potential structural problems with the existing Capitol site, I would like to have a much broader discussion about whether there might be better locations to build a legislative hall.
Juneau Democratic Senator Dennis Egan said those issues have nothing to do with its current structural integrity.
It's the state capitol building. Houses the governor, lieutenant governor, and every member of the legislature. I would hate to see this structure go into any more disrepair than it currently is. I think the $149,000 that was approved by the legislature, this is just to authorize it, is money well spent. We have to know what's wrong with that building.
Capitol Building Manager Don Johnston told the committee that the proposed project would only report on the condition of the building, something that should be done whether it is the Capitol or a state office building that's located anywhere else.
That, at the very least, needs to be done. It's not going to have anything to do with any construction costs. You know, we can go through with this phase, get their reports, and at that point decide whether to move on to phase 4 and 5. Not to mention, we're talking about some safety, very, very serious safety issues with portions of the building right now.
While the meeting room had been cleared for a secret executive session on another topic, Stoltz proposed an amendment that would clarify that the study was to advise the legislature on, quote, potential life and or health and or safety concerns. Back in a public session, Stoltz said that change would give him more comfort with his constituents. With the amendment, the measure passed with no opposition. U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski introduced a bill yesterday that would grant states a portion of oil revenue from offshore drilling. As APRN's Peter Granitz reports, it comes the same day the House passed its own bill that would expand offshore drilling.
Senator Murkowski is the lead sponsor of the bill, and by day's end, it had 8 co-sponsors, 4 Republicans and 4 Democrats, including Senator Mark Begich. It would grant states 37.5% of revenue generated from offshore drilling on the Outer Continental Shelf. That's federal land. Under current law, the state gets no share of federal offshore drilling revenue. It only collects royalties from companies drilling in closer state waters. Murkowski says revenue sharing is a way to gain support in the Senate.
On the perspective of many of the coastal states, this is a key ingredient to how we will see development of our Outer Continental Shelf areas.
The bill, like one passed in the U.S. House Wednesday afternoon, would speed up lease sales. The Department of Interior would need to hold a lease sale for Cook Inlet and the Chukchi Sea next year, 3 years ahead of schedule. Bruce Tangeman is the Deputy Commissioner for Alaska's Department of Revenue. He says the state is completely behind Senator Murkowski's plan, and the 37.5% rate seems reasonable.
Right now it's zero, so with the potential for the tremendous resource on the Outer Continental Shelf in Alaska, this would be a fair compromise for the state of Alaska, especially considering that we're seeing a decline from oil produced on state lands.
Tangeman says his agency does not know what kind of windfall this could create. They have not made any predictions because the amount of offshore oil and gas is unknown. It's still premature for people to get too excited about fattening state coffers. Last year, revenue sharing derailed a safety bill it was bundled to. And there are regional issues. Most Republicans in the House support offshore drilling, but some from states like New Jersey are opposed to it. But the House bill did not have the added incentive of added money. In Washington, D.C., I'm Peter Granitz.
There's a new website for those who want to learn more about the state's finances. AlaskaBudget.com website goes through the basics of the state's fiscal picture, a first look for many on where the state revenue comes from, where it goes, and where money has been set aside. The House Fiscal Policy Committee's legislative mandate calls for members to, quote, make recommendations to ensure a sound fiscal future. Anchorage Republican Anna Fairclough, who chairs the committee, says the goal is to get as many Alaskans as possible involved in the state's conversation about the budget. And she says the committee members are looking for feedback.
We certainly don't want to provide scare tactics, which I've heard out there, or that we're good for the next, two decades because we've got plenty of money in savings. You know, that's not the purpose. The purpose is, this is what our economy historically has been based on, and let's talk about what we want our future based on.
She says the website was designed to avoid any partisan, or avoid being partisan, or to promote any individual agenda. As an example, while the site is based on a presumption of the negative effects of oil production declines, it does not promote a change in the state's tax regime as a solution. Anchorage Democrat Chris Tuck, a member of the special committee, says the website was designed to elevate budget discussions when the committee starts its work on trying to devise a plan for the future.
If you're trying to come up with ideas and people don't really have an understanding how it works, you're going to be spending a lot of time bringing everybody up to speed. So this is our attempt to create what we call a meeting in the box where anyone can take the materials, take the package, take the exercises, get a group of people together, walk them through it, and everyone at the end will have a better understanding.
Fairclough says the committee is not scheduled to meet before the start of the next session in January. However, the material is available for the public to study and comment on immediately. Once again, that website is alaskabudget.com. New computer models predict climate and ecosystem changes for Alaska and Western Canada. The CLIOMES model were produced by the University of Alaska Fairbanks and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service scientists. One of the primary creators, forest ecologist Nancy Fresco with UAF's Scenarios Network for Alaska and Arctic Planning, says the models confirm climate-driven change.
What plants and animals are on the ground and how are they going to be affected by climate, or how might they be affected by climate? And I think that's something that we're already seeing. We're seeing species show up in places where they weren't before, and we're trying to apply that to our models and figure out how to do a little bit of prediction.
Fresco says the project is unique in forecasting regional climate change and associated ecosystem shifts for such a large area at 30-year intervals through the year 2090. She says one example of the predicted change is species common to far southern Canada moving into western Alaska.
Prairie grasslands that you'd see in Alberta or Saskatchewan, that may or may not occur according to whether the changes in the soils take place and according to whether the species actually get there. But I think that one take-home lesson from that is that even if we don't see the new species coming in right away, we'll know that a lot of the systems that are there might start to get stressed because they're going to be existing in a climate that is not the same climate that we have now and that we've had historically.
And Fresco says that can result in ecosystem mismatches in which some species are absent at key times. Fresco says a forecast ecosystem shift in interior Alaska calls for Fairbanks to become more like Anchorage, with less permafrost and bigger trees. A final report on the CLIOMES project is available for public download.